I am a recording artist, a radio personality, an actress, a TEDx speaker, and most recently, a certified master life coach. And I am just like you, on this wild ride, a page-turning book filled with victorious chapters and chapters of sheer defeat. Well, I'm here in the arena now, here to help you create a beautiful life. Hola mi gente, this is your favorite chica, Judy Torres. Welcome to Beautiful Life with Judy Torres, the podcast, season two. Yes, I'm so excited to know that we've made it through season one. Now, if you're just tuning into the podcast and you've never listened before, basically, here's a little bit background. I am a professional singer, been a professional recording artist for over 33 years now. Wow. I've been a radio personality on WKTU in New York City for over 20. I'm a TEDx speaker, an actress, and most recently, for almost 2 years now, a certified master life coach. Basically, what we do here is we try to give people advice so they can have a beautiful life. So typically, someone will call in and we give them some advice and we give them some feedback and they walk away happier, and that's what we're here to do. However, I think this season we're going to do a little differently. What we're going to do is we're going to have some special guests, live life coaching, and of course, just spontaneously take on different subjects. And today I'm so excited to say that for the first episode of our podcast, we are welcoming TEDx speaker, actor, writer, coach, and motivational speaker, April Hernandez Castillo. We met on LinkedIn and we absolutely clicked, and I asked her if she would be on this podcast. So I'm so excited to have her. But first, let's go to Wilhelmina for the meme of the week.
Hi, I'm Wilhelmina. And this is Judy Torres' meme of the week. Happy New Year, Judy. Is it too late to say that? I think it's too late to say that. Anyway, here is your meme of the week. I'd like to cancel my subscription to 2021. I've experienced the free 7-day trial, and I'm not interested. What do you think, Judy? How do you feel about 2021?
Actually, it's off to a wonderful start, and I'm being very sarcastic when I say that. You know what? 2021 has begun in a rough way, but I have confidence that the more we do this, the better we'll feel, the better things will get. It will not feel this bad forever.
You know, maybe 2021 didn't really kick in yet.
I don't think so at all.
I think it's just a little rollover. That's
2021 so far has been an extension of 2020.
Yeah. 2021 didn't happen yet. So, you know, you're the certified master life coach. This is like a free session for me today. What kind of good vibes could you give to the people? Because a little bit has happened since we've been on hiatus.
You know, I remember New Year's Eve 2019. I remember thinking, yes, 2020 is coming. 2020, what does that mean? It means clear vision, right? It's going to be the year of clear vision. And bam, we got smacked in the face with this pandemic that we didn't even see coming. I mean, some people did, but most people didn't. And we're still in the midst of it. So now what I did was New Year's Eve for 2020, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to say thank you, God, that I'm healthy and I'm still here. And whatever happens, I have the strength to handle it. I didn't jump up and down. I just said, Happy New Year. Love you. And that was it.
But don't you find it interesting that maybe there was a little bit of a clearer vision that came from 2020?
I think the clearer vision was look at what's most important.
Correct.
Remember what's most important. That's your loved ones, your health, and the fact that you have a roof over your head. I think those were the most important things. Getting back to basics, spending quality time with your family. You know, board games. Board games, probably the stock in board games probably went up. Because people were playing board games again. It was important for us to sit and look at each other and talk to each other. And the ironic thing was, I'm also glad we had technology because we were able to do things through Zoom. I'm able to do my radio show from home. That never would have happened years ago. So there are good things that have happened from it. And I think the most important thing is that it's given us a chance to assess our life and decide on what's working, what's not working, who's not working in our lives, and what do we want. And once you realize that, you can take a breath and say, okay, I'm going to do this day by day. And that's what you have to do. And just know that it's not always going to feel like this.
Outlooks for 2021? Any good goals? Any prospects?
My 2021 goal is to finish writing my book, No Reason to Cry. I'm on page 110 right now.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool.
That's it. I don't know how many pages it will be. I have no idea. But right now I'm on page 110.
The words are just pouring out of your fingertips. It's an opus.
I hope it's an opus.
And what's your thought on resolutions? That's a question that I've been saving for you.
I've always loved the idea of resolutions. It's always good to sit back and look at your life and say, I want this. However, I have found that the bigger the resolution I make, the worse it gets. So when I make a resolution to lose 20 pounds, I end up gaining 25. So I don't make that resolution anymore. What I do is I have a vision. What's my vision for the year? What would I like to achieve for the year? And I do a vision board to accompany that vision. And then on based on that, I place pictures of things that I want. So instead of focusing on losing weight, I want to be at my optimal health. Because optimal health means eat properly, get enough rest, drink enough water. If you do all those things in general, you should be losing weight anyway. You know, stay active. So staying active has been the really big challenge for me.
And for quite a few listening today, also embracing themselves is part of the goal for 2021. So with that, you have an amazing guest lined up today.
So once in a while in your life, you find that you meet somebody who unexpectedly, automatically becomes what you believe is a friend. And this young lady, I had the pleasure of meeting via LinkedIn. Yay, something good about LinkedIn. Yeah. And there's a lot of good things about LinkedIn, but I found that this has been the best thing that's happened to me. She wrote a book. It's called Embracing Me. And boy, did we connect. Like not even an hour later, we're on the phone talking to one another. And I feel like we've known each other forever. Miss April Hernandez Castillo. Hi, chica.
Oh, hey, boo.
I think it's important that I let the people know who you are, okay?
Uh-oh.
April is a writer, a survivor, a TEDx speaker, and an actor. And if you didn't see Freedom Writers, you need to go see it right now so you could see April so you know who I'm talking about. But really, you just need to follow her because everything that you do, April, is all about positivity. I've never seen a woman work her tail off as much as I watch you all day. I'm like, my God, she's posting again. I'm like, oh my God, look, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm not up to game. You know, you inspire me. I'm like, wow, you're a real go-getter, a true ambitious woman who has drive beyond what I've even seen in other women before. So I think that's really amazing.
Because I'm self-published, people don't realize that there's just a whole nother level of hustle that comes behind it. But even if you are with a publisher, you know, they'll push you. And then after a while, it just dies off. The only difference is that I own, you know, 100% of my book. But, you know, with the posting, it's just one of those things of, believe me, I'm trying to get better because my husband, he's like, you can't be on the phone all the time. I'm like, I know, but...
I know, but I have to tell this person
I'm
something.
I'm talking to Judy Torres tomorrow. I gotta... No, it's Sunday. So it's really just finding that balance.
Now, right now, you know, we're in the beginning of the year, right? And this is around the time where people start to fall off their resolutions. So correct. Tell me your definition of hustle and what that looks like in your daily life. What's the difference between you and, say, someone who doesn't have a hustle, so to speak?
Wow, that's a fantastic question.
You're welcome.
You know, listen, I look at Miss J-Lo. Miss J-Lo does not need to be doing any of what she's doing, really. She's gotten to a place where she's established, but yet she's constantly creating. You know, now with her J-Lo beauty, I think, wow, how amazing that at 51, she's putting out a beauty product when most people don't even dare to do that. So I really look at her and I'm like, wow, that's touching, that's empowering. And for me, once I did this book or just, you know, as an artist, you have to constantly be growing. You know, you're an artist yourself and you also want to see how far you can grow. I usually do things that terrify me. That's just how my brain works, right? I'm one of those of like, I want to go to the mountain. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but does anybody else want to join me? And then
everyone goes, you crazy girl.
No, and then they'd be like, yes, girl, let me just give you the So like what we were joking is I'm a visionary. I see things. I manifest them just with like the TEDx. It was something that I was manifesting for like 2 years. I was writing my story 2 years prior that I even was able to do that. I feel like if you're a creative, you're always going to be hustling to really just push yourself. That is the hustle in my mindset. How far can I push myself? How much can I put out there to work really hard?
Mm-hmm. Would you agree that part of the hustle is doing the things that people just don't want to do? You know, for example, Dr. Phil has this really great line where he says, the difference between winners and losers is that winners are willing to do the things that losers do not want to do. Do you have one mm-hmm. thing that you do that typically most people don't do?
No, I think I just focus on something. So when I decided to write this book, I had to figure out, okay, when am I going to write? I tried the whole waking up at 5 a.m, you know, and for me, it's just, you know, you do, cause you see all like, oh, this is what the masterminds do. And I want to be a part in that clubhouse. And then I go, oh, that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for me because I'm a mother mm-hmm. and I need to sleep as much as I can. So I stopped living up to some of these cliches that we hear, you know, teen no sleep, you know, P. Diddy, he's like, oh, I never sleep. And I was like, well, I'm going to sleep. Because when I sleep,
buenas noches, have a good night.
Yes, yes. When I sleep, I'm actually able to operate better as a woman. So I'm not going to adhere to what everybody else does. I'm just going to find out what works for me. My mommy would always tell me, grab the bull by the balls. Bless her
soul.
That's
good. Like, that's a good thing. What a visual. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? Can you see that? You're like, mom, those balls are big. No, but I think my mom wanted me to really have this tough skin. And so I would tap into that and say, you know, April, this story is bigger than you. You survived. And you know what? Greatness doesn't come out of it being easy. Greatness comes out of things being tough. Unfortunately, yes. It really is.
Very good.
Really does. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's some people who are just born into greatness and amen to them, you know, but there's something about when you have to earn your stripes. Mm-hmm. There's something about when you have to be like, yeah, I didn't sleep. It really just comes down to everybody has 24 hours. What you do with it is up to you.
So let's talk about the book, Embracing Me. Tell everyone your story.
Embracing Me is that, you know, I've come to a place where I've made peace with many of the decisions that I made in my life. And some were hard and some were easier. And it's a universal story of overcoming adversity, about forgiveness, about being knocked down and getting back up. Literally for me, being a survivor of teen dating violence, you know, I was abused physically and emotionally. And I did find myself on the floor many times. And I said, how do I get back up? And you know, just talking about hard topics, you know, I talk about my relationship with my mother. That was extremely difficult, very traumatic.
A lot of people have real strained relationships with their parents. So tell us about yours. Like, what was the tension there? What do you think it was?
We need some coffee for this one. You know, but the thing is, it's not normal to talk about a complicated mother-daughter relationship.
No, it's not. That's why I think it's necessary, because I know there are listeners out there that do have strained relationships with their mom, and they'll feel good knowing that they're not alone. And also knowing how you handled it maybe will inspire them how to handle it better.
You know, my mom, she was from that era from, you know, don't speak. She grew up in an abusive home. So she was raised in Puerto Rico. She was poor and she did the best that she could. She moved over to New York and she just always had a hard life. My mom didn't get the chance that she needed in life and she tried to make the best that she could. Unfortunately, you know, she fell into drugs. But what's so crazy is that although my mom was an addict for more years than I thought, I never went without. But my father was also an addict, and I didn't learn this until years later. So the mere fact that I am not addicted to anything is just God's grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
And the fact that you're still here thriving, not just surviving, you're thriving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not just surviving, which was very big for me as well. But when I wrote it, I was coming from a place of understanding. right? Because for so, I think a lot of us, we get stuck in hating our parents. I think we get stuck in expecting them to be someone that they can never be. And so I had to just really say, okay, Mom, I'm going to look at you from like an adult point of view. I'm going to look at you as a woman who I've come across in one of my speaking engagements. How would I treat her? I would treat her completely differently than just from me being the daughter who needs her mother. So it's taken me a lot of work to get to that place. I'm not going to lie. There's times where even that she's dead, I still feel very angry. I feel angry that I'm a mom raising daughters without a mother. I feel like it's so unfair.
But April, here's the hidden blessing. Okay, you ready? Ready?
Yeah.
All right. The hidden blessing is this. Your mother and the way she treated you was an indirect lesson of everything that you didn't want to be as a mother.
Right.
So yeah. Now you're able to give your girls what was missing for you so that that doesn't become a generational curse that gets passed down every time.
Listen, but like it's taken lots of like inner work. I mean, because my mother's presence was so intense in my life. Her approval, me wanting to feel that she loved me. I knew she loved me, of course. I don't doubt. I don't ever believe it. But she just had an interesting, colorful way of showing it and never showing it. And I've had to work on wanting the acceptance from others. You know, because I think when you lack something from one of your parents, you seek it out somewhere else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right?
And so, especially being in the arts, all you want to do is be accepted by people, right? You go on stage and there's something profound about stepping on stage and having a connection with people and them automatically giving it back to you. That's why there's nothing like theater. That's why there's nothing like singing. That's why for me, speaking on a stage, oh my goodness, I lose myself. I'm able to connect. It's deeper for me. I don't just go up there and like, oh, hey, you know, I did this and blah, blah. Like, I just feel like, man, if this is my last day on earth, did I leave it all on the stage? So I've had to work a lot with not desiring or needing that instant gratification because I lacked it so much from my mother. She was a typical Puerto Rican mom. I'm like, all right, mommy, I love you. And she goes, uh-huh.
I think like, your mother knew my father.
I go, what's uh-huh? Just say, I love you. I love you. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I love
like
you.
The, so like what? She never let the wall down.
Oh, no, no. Mm-hmm. So when there were moments of vulnerability for her, it was very uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. I'm like, do I hug her? Do I like tap her on her shoulder and be like, you're going to be all right. You know, grab the bull by the balls. I don't know. Like it was just always. but, you know, my mother was very sick in the last few years of her life. You know, she had everything. She needed a liver and kidney transplant and she was on dialysis and it really just destroyed her. And it was the hardest thing for me to watch. Mm-hmm. To me, my mother was a fox. Mm-hmm. I mean, my mother had that presence, mm-hmm. which lets me know like, oh, okay, I understand where I get my presence from. But to watch your parent become very ill and very weak and just so like, wow, it was definitely difficult. Mm-hmm. It still is. Mm-hmm. It still is. It's going to be 4 years and it just feels like yesterday that she passed away. Mm-hmm.
What did your mother teach you about forgiveness?
Absolutely nothing.
What did you learn about forgiveness through your relationship with her?
Oh, I learned that forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean reconciliation. I can forgive you. Doesn't mean I need to go and have a Starbucks with you. and you know, like, hey, you know, you abused me. Now let's like, oh my God, totally talk to each other. But it's a sense of a forgiveness, a peace just for you and saying, I don't hold on to that anymore. You know, my mother would always say, I forgive, but I never forget. That's mm-hmm. the old school way of thinking. And I think that there's some truth behind it, you know, especially when something or someone has really, it's been bad and it's happened to you. But my mom never forgave. You know, my mom didn't understand that concept. She could never really forgive at all. You know, she would just hold on to things And I truly believe that the saddest part is that she never was able to forgive herself.
Do you forgive her?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's what this chapter was about. You know, it's called Mommy Maria Dearest. And one of her favorite movies was Mommy Dearest. And today that's my favorite movie. But I understand, you know, people will be like, that's an interesting.
Not exactly the sweetest mom and Mommy Dearest.
But I make a connection. You know, I say I didn't know why I was so connected to that movie, but it wasn't until I was a woman that I identified. And if you've never watched Mommy Dearest, you must watch it. It's an old film. It's about Joan Crawford and her tumultuous relationship with her daughter.
She won an Oscar for that, right?
I believe so.
I think she won an Oscar for that. Mm-hmm.
Joan Crawford was this stunning woman, and she was, you know, adopted her two children. But I identified with Christina, her daughter, of wanting to just be loved. And yet this person was so complicated. So that was my connection with Christina. Mm-hmm. I felt for the first time someone going through what I was going through, because my mother was emotionally unavailable to me for so many years. And it was the same thing. And so my mother, I would always call her like Mommy Dearest. That's just how I would approach her. And it really just is my love letter to her, releasing her of that. Like, she could never be that. She didn't have those tools.
Right.
And she wasn't really willing to work on them.
Right. I try to let people know that your parents, when you're mad at them, it's, you were talking about letting go of certain things with your parents. I think it's important that we also let go of blaming our parents. We have a tendency to say, you know what? It's their fault that I'm like this today. It's their fault that I got this attitude. It's their fault. It's their fault. I can understand that the situation and circumstances led you to feeling this way. However, you're always in charge of your decision on how you're going to live your life. But the thing is with our parents, it's easier to forgive them if we can remember that our parents did the best they could at the time with what they knew at the time.
Right.
Right? When you know better, you do better. But back then, they didn't know better. They came from, like you said, old school, a completely different set of rules. And women didn't speak up back then the way they do now.
Oh, no.
Women
no,
weren't
no,
allowed no. to. Period.
Yeah. And you know what's so wild? That my mom would always tell me how powerful my voice was, but yet she was the first one to strip my voice.
Mm. Mm. That's deep, girl.
Ciao.
If you felt it was stripped from you, how did you decide to use it? How did you find your voice again?
Well, there's two moments of me finding my voice. There's me finding my voice as a survivor, and then there was me finding my voice and speaking up. And not allowing my mother to abuse me anymore. So those are two different times. Mm-hmm. And that's big, because especially Latinas in Latino homes, like, you know, that whole, like, you're not supposed to disrespect your parents no matter what. Like, you know, and I got to a place where I was like, yeah, you are not going to disrespect me anymore. I am beginning to set boundaries. So I had to begin to set boundaries. And do you know how uncomfortable that was? That is not a normal Latino house where you set boundaries for your parents. But I had to do that because she was becoming so toxic in my life. Mm-hmm. So going to see my mom would give me bouts of anxiety. I would have panic attacks because I never knew what she was going to say. I never knew what was going to come out of her mouth, you know, because in my mom's mouth, she was like, I'm a realist. All right. And whatever you don't like, that's not my problem. You know, I don't know what world you live in. I'm like, I live on planet Earth.
I'm only laughing. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because my husband says that all the time. He says, honey, I'm a realist. Okay. I'm a realist. Cause I'm an eternal optimist. To me, there's always going to be a rainbow somewhere. I that's how I feel. So he's always saying, honey, I'm a realist, okay? So I think that's just interesting.
Yeah, she just, you know, she could be extremely mean, but I also believe it was just, you know, her sickness. It's one thing to be sick and have some sort of peace, but when you're sick and your soul is not at rest, it is complete torture.
There is no greater awakening than when you become sick. It'll literally stir your soul and wake you up. It will. And whatever pain is there, it comes up. It comes up and out, unfortunately, towards the wrong people sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Listen, my friend, she has a very intense relationship with her mother. And she said, you know, I was reading your chapter about your mom and I really like couldn't, I had to stop because I never thought that I would read about someone having the same relationship the way I have with mine. And when we both discovered that buying Mother's Day cards was, it was like, I'm going to have a shot of gin before I go and buy cards because they wrote cards that did not reflect my relationship.
Do you know that I feel that way? And I hope I'm not doing any disrespect to my father, but I feel the same way with Father's Day. When I pick up a card and it says, thanks, Dad, you've always been there for me. I'm like, yeah. You were there sometimes.
You know, like the simple let's, cards?
Let's do a greeting card. And let's do a greeting card company.
Oh, my God.
And we'll call it like, you were sort of there cards. I don't know.
You almost did it. But let me ask you, seriously. Yeah.
So how do you think your book is going to help the listeners find some inner peace with that?
I think number one, it'll really make them just sit with themselves and really like the way I talk about my life is so open and transparent. We always talk about standing in our truth. Like, what does that mean, standing in your truth? Because what I know of standing in my truth, that is the scariest place to be. To face yourself. And that's my hope, that if you read this book, you'll be able to face some things if you identify, right? Because you might just read it and say, hey, that was a book. But for those readers who do pick it up and say, wow, I had a bad relationship with my mother. Maybe I should start getting some therapy. That's my hope. Or you know, if you have been abused, that you look at my story and you say, love is possible. I can actually find love after leaving an abusive relationship or if you've grown up in an abusive home, that you don't deserve to be abused and that you can actually get your life moving. And like you said, Judy, you know, it's more than about surviving, it's thriving, because I think many people can survive, but you're completely broken, mm-hmm. right? You can survive and just be like, I never want to deal with that again.
But you can survive and you can be stuck.
Right. You got out, but you're like traumatized. And so the way God has worked in my life is that he has never allowed me to not deal with anything in my life. He makes me face myself all of the time. And sometimes I'm like, Papa Dios, what's going on? Can I get a break?
He says, nope.
No.
He says, wait, let me show you something else. Wait, I got something new for you.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you want to write a book? I mean, you know, and it's one of those things. But, you know, having conversations of healing, especially in the Black and Brown community, we're so afraid to talk about, like, the things that happened in our past. Perfect example, you know, my father read the book and I was like, listen, I'm just going to let you know, little disclaimer, Daddy, that I talk about your wife and you might learn some things. And girl, he was bawling. My father was crying and he was apologizing to me. And I thought, wow, this is what the book needs to accomplish.
April Hernandez Castillo, I could talk to you forever. Like literally.
Forever.
You're my instant friend. I love you. I love your spirit. I love your soul. I'm so happy for you. You know, as soon as I saw on LinkedIn that you had this book, I was like, yes, congratulations. The name of the book is called Embracing Me. And where can they get it?
They can get it on Amazon.
Okay. Embracing Me, available on Amazon.com. April Hernandez Castillo, we will have you back again. Congratulations on all your success. And I know you're just going to fly, girl.
Thank you.
Blessings. Bye. Love you.
I tell you, Judy, I really enjoyed listening to the two of you speak. I think that you and her would be a very big force to be reckoned with together if you guys were on a stage.
She's really good on stage. You should see her TEDx talk, and she needs way more views. I'm so motivated right now. She talked about hustle. Now when we're done with this, I'm just going to go type, finish my book. And I just want to thank again April Hernandez Castillo for shedding light on relationships and difficulties that we have with our parents and different challenges in life and how we rise above them.
Well, you know, although it might be a new year, Judy, doesn't mean that certain things from the past don't creep up on us. And one of those things that's creeping up right now, bringing all kinds of problems into the new year, is your girl.
Some things never change. Duty wine.
All right, right? Listen, first of all, I just want to say that I can't handle this year already. This year started, like, horrible. Like, what the heck? Like, you know, like, all this politics and all this stuff with the pandemic, I know. It stinks, all right? I can't stand it. It's like a fart that won't go away. It's like the silent but deadly fart, you know? But listen, Judy, I have a question, okay? I want to know, but why is it, all right? Why is it that every time New Year's comes along and I'm supposed to get a big New Year's Eve kiss, how come I didn't get no kiss this year?
Well, Bucci, I love you very much. But, you know, I just want to say I've seen your posts on Instagram and Facebook. I've seen your videos on TikTok too. And your lips are really huge.
Yeah, but mama, that's all DNA, all right? That's just natural beauty. I can't help it if I got a full mouth. I got a full mouth because I'm kissable.
I guess you're kissable. The question is, why hasn't anybody kissed you? Maybe you're trying too hard.
Trying too hard? I was just standing there with my mouth like this, and nothing happened.
Well, Poochie, with all due respect, was anybody even in the house with you on New Year's Eve to possibly be kissable for the midnight?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, I mean, all right, fine. So I was alone. So what? So maybe, like, Judy, but please, mommy, do me a favor, right? Just help me. Like, help me get somebody to love, right? I just want to hold somebody, you know? I want to sing No Reason to Cry to somebody. I want to be like, there's no reason for you to cry. I want to hold them, you know? I'm a happiness between you and me, and I can't do it. Please, Judy, help me, mama, please.
Judy, why don't we start a campaign for her?
Do we have to?
You know what? You know what? Fine, let's do it. You know why? Because I don't want to know that anybody out there is lonely. Everybody deserves love. Everyone's worthy of love, including you, Poochie.
I know. I told you. I'm worthy of love. What are you talking about?
So why don't we go through like a vetting process?
All right.
Right? Well, maybe we'll pick a couple of guys, Poochie, for you. Potential prospects.
Really? You have people in line? You have people in mind? You mind?
Would you go on a date and maybe talk about it with us on our Valentine's episode?
Well, some things I gotta keep private, you know. I don't put all my stuff out there, but yeah, I will let you know how it goes, all right? Just hook me up with somebody really good. He has to be cute. He has to have a job, all right? And I prefer he doesn't live with his mother, but if he does, it's all right, because if his mother is nice, then I'm all right.
Judy, do you think she's got too many demands?
I mean, everybody has a list of things that they like and, you know, what they don't like. They have their, what do you call that?
Well, the non-negotiables.
Thank you. They have the non-negotiables. So Poochie, what's one of your non-negotiables?
I mean, we can negotiate later as long as I have somebody, it's all right.
I want to thank April Hernandez Castillo for joining us. She was amazing. And again, her book, Embracing Me, is on Amazon.com. As we usually end every podcast with a song. So here is My Soul, written and recorded by moi. I wrote this song about my mother for my mother. Hope you like it.
Where do I look? Where do I start? How do I look into my heart? The only problem is I'm not.
listen for me. I'm here to tell you that it's time for you to set me free. You can't own me, cause I don't wanna be your little puppet that I wanted to take hold of me. I'm not your woman now, and I can show you how. So I'm leaving you to see how you like me now.
Our first episode of season two. Woohoo! We did it. I'm going to leave you with a final thought. Remember when it comes to our parents that things can be very testing and very challenging. But just know your parents did the best they could at the time with what they knew at the time. And you're doing exactly that. You're doing the best you can at this time with what you know at this time. When you know better, you do better. So continue to love yourself, embrace yourself, and embrace the life that's ahead of you. And remember, there's no reason to cry. Mwah! Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Be sure to keep up with Judy Torres on social media at Judy Torres Music. Like the official Judy Torres Facebook fan page or visit www.judytorres.com. Judy Torres is available for group and one-on-one life coaching as well as public motivational speaking appearances. If you wish to request these services or have a potential topic for a future episode of our podcast, please feel free to write to judytorreslifecoach@gmail.com. Beautiful Life is produced, protected, and published through Judy Torres Enterprises, LLC. All rights are reserved. Thanks for listening.
I told you there was no reason to cry.